Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
You want salt, you want fresh, you want fins, you want shells. It is all happening right now. Happy Father's Day weekend to all your Inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of June 15th and 16th. This past week, I tell you, especially, I felt like a pinball in a machine just bouncing around everywhere. Southern part of the state, trying to get things done, trying to experience everything. The largemouth, the pickerel on the freshwater. And love my channel cats, love my channel cats. We're going to get more into that a little later on in a show in the summer. Man, these things are badass. You got some white cats too. Tidal River white cats. Oh, man, they'll bend that rod on you. Crabbing's been just getting better by the day. And clamming, subject of our next segment. Yeah, man, what about clamming? Very, very popular. I have Jeff Norman coming on from Bureau of Marine Fisheries, DEP's Fish and Wildlife. That was all about the clam resource and clamming here in New Jersey. Had a bunch of shout-outs of people. I mean, one in particular, Annie from Middlesex. Remember Mike Kerwin's there, Route 28. Shout-out to Annie out there. Don't forget, Seabass closes again this Wednesday, the 19th. Get out there. It's your last shot at Seabass until it reopens in the summer with some insipid. Won't understand why I have the one fish limit there. Fluken has been improved, predicated where you are, man. Fluken has been either stellar or meds of meds. But there's plenty of keepers out there. Again, it was happened again with the, now it's 3-18. We're getting the fish to 17.5, 17. It is what it is. I just feel that we're stuck in the three fish thing forever. And there's still stripers around, but you got to get up north. You want some striper action. Low light, either when the sun gets up, seems to be over the horizon, boom, they shut off, or just before dark, and some weak fish around. Man, it's a smorgasbord out there. Let's grab that cup, grab that rubber. We're talking clamming on our next segment. Rack and Fin Radio. Clams at Agonade, clams casino, clams on a half shells, clams with the linguine. I'll take them with any kind of macaroni. Oh, got to be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. My pasta's coming out.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Okay, now Father's Day weekend, school's out. Families are all over the Jersey Shore. It's going to be that way for the next few weeks through Labor Day. What's it going to be Labor Day? September 3rd. Now, I know crabbing's a big thing, and people are out there on the boats for the flounder the whole bit. And I've noticed this more and more, the past 3 years especially, how popular clamming is. I mean, it can be as esoteric or as simple as you want to make it, but and especially the families involved. Even young kids are out there, and they're licensed. I get that right because I'm checking. You need a clamming license, no matter the age. But and you wonder, man, there's a lot of people out there clamming. Can the resource stand that? Now, there's no recreational clamming on Sunday, or any clamming on any sort of guess or whatever on Sunday. Give them a little bit of a break. But I said, I didn't realize just how, and it's, the popularity seems to keep growing. Put in a call to a good friend of Rack and Fin Radio, Jeffrey Norman, supervisory fisheries biologist, DEP's Fish and Wildlife. Shellfish, the clamming game, I would say clam is the jam besides making a great bait. You have the cherry, so now I'm hearing middle necks as opposed to whatever, little necks, top necks, whatever. A lot of fun. You can rake it, you can tread with it, and you have the great eats afterwards. New Jersey's hard clam resource. What's it all about? Jeffrey Norman, thanks for joining us. Rack and Fin, how you doing, little brother?
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Oh, man. You know what? I'm making that. Okay, listeners, again, full disclosure. I'm going to go buy them. I don't have time to go clamming. I'm making my Tom P. patented buffalo clams tonight, Jeffrey. Buffalo clams, check it out, man. Denise says, you're going to explode. I just keep going. But, Jeff, the clam resource in New Jersey seems to be thriving. DEP, marine fisheries, whatever, shell fisheries, are there clam enhancement programs going on? Is this just all natural stuff? Are clams raised in hatcheries? What's the deal? It seems like a lot of clams come in.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that is natural, Tom, but we do supplement or do enhancement efforts in some of the shallow water areas, like up in Barnegat Bay, maybe some stuff in Little Lake Harbor Bay, where we actually will get seed clams and plant them. But a lot of that we're seeing is also some natural set. We do inventories every once in a while. We haven't been up in Barnegat Bay area in a while, but, we try to make assessments, of what's going on. and we go from there. And then we can use that information and say, well, maybe we need to enhance, you know, a certain area or not. You know what I mean? We use that information to, you know, to manage the resource.
Well, Denver, they can, natural reproduction, whatever, 68 to 86 degrees, whatever, you have the muddy bottom, what have you. I mean, the natural reproduction, it seems, everything's predicated almost totally on water quality, correct?
Well, I mean, water quality plays a role a lot of times in the harvesting of shellfish or where you harvest it from.
Right.
But a lot of this stuff is temperature related, how your currents are flowing and that type of stuff. So where these clams set, every year is different. The environmental conditions of every year will dictate, what happens, in the future. So.
Well, Jeff, the salinity factor plays a role, correct? Was it parts per thousand?
Well, I mean, we see clams. Clams are very they're very hardy. They live in a lot of different salinity ranges. I mean, when you start getting to your lower salinity ranges, like in your 20 parts per thousand and mm-hmm. below that, you start seeing the clams kind of get like blunted. You ever get that chalky? You know, they're kind of like that.
Yeah.
But if you get a nice current with good salinity, like say 28 parts per thousand, 27, around there, you start, they have that nice sharp shell,
mm-hmm.
the nice growth rings. I mean, they're nice growth on their, on their bills, as they're developing it, so that's what, they like that. They, you get your food source, you got good salinity, good temperature, good water flow, makes a healthy clam.
Jeff, because I find it fascinating, not to get into a little biology here, people, just the clam reproduction process. You go into that for a minute, please, the gametes and all. I'm reading up on this stuff saying, Mary, mother of God, I never knew it was this complicated.
I don't know if it's that complicated.
I'm just understanding those terms.
Yeah, well, they basically release their gametes around the same time, and, it's into the water column. It's a cloud of gametes, and then they get into become a larvae, and they actually float around with the currents until they finally settle out.
Now, how many times is reproduction to occur once a year, twice a year?
It could occur twice a year. I mean, a lot of times it's once a year, probably around now when the temperature is rising,
mm-hmm.
and you could probably have another set in the fall.
Jeff, habitat. Requirements for the clam. You see them on the mud flats, whatever, and you see people clamming all over the place, it seems, especially now with the Father's Day weekend kicking in. Anything specific, sand bottom preferable to a muddy bottom? How does that work?
Well, I mean, it depends on how you want to harvest. So, a sand bottom is kind of a hard bottom. It's kind of hard to get through.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of need a scratch rake to do that, where you get a mud sand bottom. We have a mix where you'll probably be able to tread, it a lot easier. So it's kind of like what your preference is, how good you are at it in terms of getting those clams out. So, clams, they live in a wide variety of sediment. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a pretty long rate. You can be a soft bottom up to hard bottom. Now, if you get into where it's all mud, I mean, like gooey mud.
Yeah.
Then that you're probably not gonna find them where you get a lot of silt, but you get that sand mud mixture. That's what you're kind of looking for with that. You get into real hard sand where it's all sand. You probably got a lot of dynamic factors in play, like near an inlet where you have sand shifts all the time. It's probably not. You probably find them there, but. It's you don't know where they're going to be, but if you get into a good sand mud mixture in the back, right behind the inlets and stuff like that, that's some pretty good areas.
Listen, it's the Jersey season for residents. It was no close season, 1.5 inch
right.
minimum, 150 clams. Now for the non-residents, the license for non-residents is going to be $20, $10 for residents. It's valid only June through September. Jeff, okay, you're out there, you're in a boat, you're treading, or you have your bass there. You have the clams on the boat. Care, this is critical, listeners, care of the clams. Go into that, please. This is vital.
Well, it's like any other type of meat or food that you're eating, right? So in the summertime, obviously it's hot. So you want to take care of your clams while you're harvesting them. You know, a lot of people use baskets. You know, they're in the water, which is great because you have water flow going through them. The water keeps the clams cool. You know, once you're done with that, you want to take those clams and you kind of want to keep them cool on the deck of your boat. So you either shade them or you can, you know, put them in a cooler with some ice or something like that to keep them cool. I mean, it's no different. You don't want the clams sitting out in the sun laying on the top of your deck. Ooh. Because it's no different than, say, you had a piece of chicken, you left it on your counter, you know, all day long, or you left it out in the sun. Would you eat it? Mm-hmm. No, because bacteria will start growing faster. So you want to make sure you have a safe product, or not, I shouldn't even say a product, we're not selling, a safe food, what you're going to eat. And then, you know, so you want to keep it cool. You know, it's like anything else. You know, if you leave meat on the counter, the bacteria, you know, like that warmer temperature, they're going to start growing. So what you want to do is keep it cool. You'll have a nice, safe, delicious clam. You know?
And listen, there are so many ways to make. I mean, the half shell is great. The clams can see it naturally. I'm for the old Italian school clams that I can add. Oh, love that with the bread crumb on there. But Jeffrey, now the limit of, we're up against Harbridge. The limit is 150. That seems pretty liberal. I mean, but it's been, the populations have been steady, correct? Are there any indications that would cause you to say, hey, man, maybe we should lower the recreational limit or the commercial limit? How does that work?
Well, I mean, that's kind of a management process of looking into, plans in terms of, you know, for like fisheries management. But, you know, you look at the recreational fishery, right? You get about, 11,000 shellfish licenses sold a year, right? Recreational mm-hmm. shellfish license, approximately. Maybe a little more, a little less, right? So if you look at that, I mean, does all 11,000 of them are harvesting 150 every day?
Mm-hmm.
No, they're not. It's not a commercial fishery. So it seems kind of liberal, but is it really that much? I mean, we really don't know because there's no reporting requirements for recreational harvest.
Mm-hmm.
But is it really that much? You know what I mean? So, I mean, you have a few guys that probably go out every day. They're retired. They love to go out, right? But a lot of people work. It's working during the week. So yep. They go out once a week, you know, or something like that. So, or maybe even once a year. They buy a license. They go once, which is fine. So you kind of got to look at that. You know, you kind of got to look at that factor. Like all 11,000 people are not harvesting.
150 clams. Yeah, right. 6 days a week.
Fishery.
Right. Listen, we have on the line Jeff Norman. He is supervisory fisheries biologist of DEP's Bureau of Marine Fisheries. Talking clamming. The clam, it's been on. We've seen guys been catching clams since, I guess, late March, early April. They want to get out there in that, that kind of chilly water. But it's a lot of fun. You can go get a clam rake and get set up. It can be as complicated or as easy as you want to make it. Great eating. Resident license, $10. Non-resident, $20. Yes, even the youngsters. There's no age limit on, even a little kid. Needs a license, correct?
Yeah, I believe it's what, $2 license?
$2, yeah. So,
and it doesn't matter if you're non-resident or resident with the juvenile license.
Mm-hmm. And listen, it's a lot of fun. If you want to know where to clam, go to the Department of Bureau, DEP's Marine Waters, Marine Water Monitoring website. DEP's Marine Water Monitoring website. That's a tongue twister there. And find out what areas you can clam in. Most times, the tackle shops that sell licenses will have, sometimes during the course of summer, will have those booklets out there. So go and enjoy the resource. Crabbing, so I love crab, but clamming, whole different ballgame. Now, Jeff, especially if you're treading a rate, you're one-on-one with these critters. It's not like a crab trap with a dry. I mean, you are one-on-one in that sand and that mud, man. I love it.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. And it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of different techniques to get them.
Yep.
So it's like, you know, you can set up your day of how you want to do it. And depending on what you enjoy, and if you like walking around on, you know, sand flats or mud flats or whatever it is, it's perfect for you, you know. And, you know, how good you want to be at it, you can be just, you know, casual with it, or you can be pretty serious about it. I mean, there's a lot of rec clammers, like my father, that's pretty serious about it. You know, he's got to get his clams, so he's out there.
And man, by the way, he's got to get his fish too. I met him. Intense fisherman there, bro.
Yeah, he's 82 years old. He's still running around.
He told me that. My jaw dropped. No, God bless him. And listen, it's getting too predicated on the wind. Have a good bug spray. Jeff, great job. Thanks so much for the job you guys are doing with DP with the Marine Fisheries. Listeners, go clamming. A lot of fun, especially this Father's Day weekend, 4th of July weekend, holidays. It is a holiday summer. Go out and enjoy the resource. Plenty of it there. And you're not going to get anything better, man. Oh, Jeff, clams. You got the pan there. You have the white wine in there. You got the butter. You got the garlic. You got the clams opening. Oh, man. Come on, Norman. Come on.
It's good stuff. Actually, that buffalo recipe that you were just talking about with clams, I got to let my wife know that.
Yes, and here's the thing. Freshly shredded mozzarella or parmesan. Not the loose stuff that's grated. Make your tongue slap your brains out, Norman. I'm telling you. We'll see you on the water, man. Thanks again.
Hey, no problem, Tom. Have a good day.
You too. Jeff Norman, just a great guy. Just a great guy overall. Go clamming, man. A lot of fun. Hey, coming up, the heat is on. Want to catch some largemouth in the heat? Check out the next two segments. Grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station. Bullet points.
I'm Eben Brown. Second Amendment rights are pretty absolute as court decision after court decision seems to prove. Of course, if you find yourself convicted of a felony, you might lose that right to arm yourself. Former President Trump has long held an actual New York City concealed carry permit back from before the Supreme Court's Bruin ruling, when getting one meant proving to the NYPD you really had a pressing need, like you were a celebrity whose life was in imminent danger. Now the NYPD says they have to revoke that permit because as a convicted felon in New York State, the former president can't own guns, even though the felony was nonviolent. President Trump, however, lives mostly in Florida, where Governor Ron DeSantis has already said he would direct the clemency board to at least ensure the former president's voting rights. The former president still has a Secret Service detail, and they're all armed. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
We're live on the green here at Big Little Nine, the happiest golf course on earth. Wow! This guy's got a swing like a one-armed man wrestling snakes in an elevator. Primed for fast play, you can fit around in any time and be happy as a flip-flop in sand. Book today at BigLittleNine.com.
Hey, this is Carly, and a little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A Chicken Minis is the combination of flavors. The first thing I always taste is the honey butter. It gets me going in the morning. The Chicken Minis are phenomenal. The roll is soft, and the chicken is crispy. I never had chicken for breakfast before, but they were so good. I told my mom and sister about them, and now they're a family thing. It's the perfect breakfast bite.
Breakfast starts with Chicken Minis and Simply Orange Juice on the Chick-fil-A app. Real customer paid for their testimonial.
When something happens to your car, you might say,
no! My car!
But what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
And Happy New Year segment on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. We got June 15th and 16th again. Happy Father's Day. You know, in the parallel universe of Rack and Fin Radio, when a season opens or reopens, indeed cause for a New Year celebration. Tomorrow, June 16th, the catch and release only segment of the freshwater bass season in New Jersey, largemouth and smallmouth, concludes. Now you can keep bass for the tournament anglers. That means, yes, you can put them in the live well, transport them. For those of us predicated on the venue who don't mind some fried bass and hush puppies, Now legal to keep, the limit is 5, except on the Lunker Bass Lakes. There it's 3 combined with a maximum, or minimum rather, 15 inches. Minimum statewide is 12 inches. But let's get to it, man. The heat is on. You like that, man? I like when my skin gets like salami that's been left out of the picnic. Then I know you're alive, man. The heat of the summer, you can't beat it. How did a bass react? There's a sudden blast. It's going to temper a little bit. And then we have some heat coming the next 3 weeks. Put in a call to my main man, Lane L. Long time, a current past president of South Jersey Kayak Bass Fishing Club. And he is the current vice president of the South Jersey Bass Club Association. Hey, they have a great open buddy tournament trip. I mean, go to sjbca.org and hit the open buddy tournament schedule. And we're going to talk, and Lane's also on the pro staff of Native Watercraft. Arguably some of the best made fishing kayaks out there, fresh or salt. Lane is a seasoned Bass Pro regional, national, local circuits with his kayak and also with his bass boat, with his only when he's recreational thing. Omnipresent water buddy Ladybug, coolest looking boxer I've ever seen. The heat is on. Lane loves fishing the South Jersey lakes, especially when it's hot. Has some tips, tricks, and techniques. Lane, man, how was that sweat box yesterday? Pretty good, huh?
Not bad, Tom B. How are you making out today?
God, man, if I was any better, Lane, you know, right, B. But let's not go there. So, Lane, the heat is on. The weed growth has been there. For example, Pack on Lake down here at Tucker, I try to stop there every once in a while. Man, those weeds have been up since the end of April, early May. But I'm noticing, Lane, especially this past week in my travels through Cape May County, up through Cumberland, Salem, around, weeds are up and out. Now, the water with this heat blast and what we have coming, it's definitely going to affect bass behavior, will it not?
Oh, without a doubt. When it gets hot, you know, the bass are just like us. They're looking for shade. They're looking for cover. They're looking to get out of the sun any way possible.
But, Lane, they will eat if the opportunity presents itself. Again, they're like me. I'm the present appetite. I mean, are there periods in the hot water where they just turn off? Or if you drop, for example, a plastic, like a creature bait, a sweet beaver, say I'm dating myself, sweet beaver in front of them, will they take it, or are there times, parameters that you work within, and you only get to fish that day when it happens to be 90 degrees with a heat index of 105? What do you do?
No, they'll eat all day long. I mean, obviously there's windows where there'll be a better bite, but you can get them to bite all day long. Summertime fishing can be grueling just because it's hot out there. You're sweating, your hands are slipping, but don't give up. Bass are eating, and it's some of the best fishing you'll probably have all year long. Especially late spring or early summer, you have the bluegill sitting up on beds shallow, and that's going to bring the bass in shallow, and they're going to be lurking around looking for a free meal. So they're hungry, they're post-spawn, they're getting their energy back from the spawn. It's really a great time to be on the water.
Lane, I guess bluegills, pumpkin seeds, golden shiners, and you get the smaller gizzard shad, whatever those are. You got some, South Jersey has some prime forage no matter which lake it is. And by the way, this is Parvin Lake is on the short 5 list of Lunker Bass Lakes managed as such. And Lane, I'll tell you, just as a, that's not a non sequitur, including this, I think what's a max depth in there? 6.5, maybe 7 feet? Hardly any shoreline access. But Lane, what a bass fishery in there.
Parvin's a great lake. You know, it is designated as a Lunker Bass, which means you can only keep fish over 15 inches.
Mm-hmm.
But in the summertime, it gets this floating mat of just black witch's hair, we call it, for any other word. If you get tangled in it, the stuff is stronger than any fishing line you'll ever see. But the bass also use that as cover on that lake.
Mm-hmm.
And if you fish around those floating mats of this stuff, you can get bit. They'll come out of there and hit a spinnerbait, a chatterbait, some sort of jerkbait, something that's moving, something that you can keep clean. Going around that black witch's hair mat. I've caught some really big fish. You would think there's no way a fish could live in that stuff, but
right.
They get in that. It keeps them cool. They have their eyes peeled, on the outside of it, looking for anything going by that might be an easy meal. And, you can really catch some fish off of that stuff. I know 90% of the anglers out there hate fishing that stuff because it just tangles and gets in all your baits, gets in your prop, gets in everything. It can be a real nuisance. But if you learn how to fish it and accept it, you can really get some giants out of that stuff.
Like I've seen anglers, what are they doing? They're punching these standing mats of weeds that even I can walk on at 300 something pounds and not really sink barely below my ankles, or above my ankles rather, punching bass and pulling bass out. And I'm not talking frogging people, I'm talking like big plastic. Wait, Lane, that's an art form in itself.
Yeah. The one thing, you know, people think South Jersey bass lakes are shallow, and they are, and they don't have a lot of floating mats except for this. You know, this witch's hair that I described earlier, that you would never use a big punching weight in South Jersey. They think it out for Florida or South Carolina or Texas.
Right.
But you can use up to a 1.5 ounce flipping weight to get through that stuff. And when you flip that heavy mat with a heavy weight, you can get a bait to go straight through it. And you will get the attention of some big bass that you didn't even know existed around here.
Well, I swear, some of the bass I've seen, they die of old age. There's so much food in there. Sorry to interrupt you, but I'm a yapper. There's so much food in there. I mean, again, to pick out your specific bait, and they just get older and fatter, like yours truly.
They get big and old for a reason. They're smart, and they go where anglers don't normally go. And that's one of the places anglers in South Jersey do not fish a lot is those big hairy black mats.
Mm-hmm.
But they can produce some really good fish, and you just gotta find ways to fish that stuff, and to get on top of that stuff. That's why a kayak is so good. You can just paddle on top of it, find holes. You know, the newer kayaks, you can stand up in them and just be flipping like you would on a normal bass boat.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you get a good heavy punching weight with a slim trailer. You don't want a lot of appendages. You know, I use the Bandito Bug has become one of my favorite creature baits.
Yeah.
You can trim the side legs off, and just this way you just have that back flipping legs, and it'll slide right through with anything. You hook it up weedless, and it's a great way to fish that kind of stuff.
Lane, in this kind of cover, especially the thick stuff, you're tying, 40, 50, 65-pound braid direct, correct?
Yeah, you want to use a heavy braid. You know, people associate line weight with the size of fish you're catching, and that's not true. You're using line weight based on the cover you're fishing. And if you bring up, 20 pounds worth of slop, you need a line that can handle that. And that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to yank, a 4, 5, 6 pound bass out of, 20, 30 pounds of slop. And that's why you need a real heavy line just to be able to manage the territory you're fishing.
Lane, the bankside game, laydowns, overhanging brush, low-hanging trees, offering shade, first light, last light type of dealio, cloudy day, or can you work these effectively? Water's going to be hot as hell, best situated in some weeds and cover up there. What do you think? Or alongside these laydowns?
Here's the deal in the summertime is you're always looking for some sort of shade. The bass are just trying to get out of the sun the same way we are. You know, if we're looking to get out of the sun, they're looking to get out of the sun. So you want to fish overhangs, you want to fish laydowns, you want to fish lily pads, anything that gives the bass cover from the sun. Along the bank this time of year is where they're going to be. So stay away from those bright, sunny banks. They're just not going to be there, or they're not going to be there in numbers. You're also looking for bluegill beds. Like I said, they're going to be anywhere around the bluegill are right now. They're going to be up there looking for an easy meal. So When they're up there, they're in attack mode. They're hungry. They're feeding. So it's a great time. It's a great place also to fish in the summertime for bass. So any cover and definitely bluegill beds.
Well, and the bluegill beds, that's, what was it, 5 or 6 years now? Ned Kennedy came out with the Ned rig that was supposed to imitate a bluegill bouncing around a bass nest. And it's taken off from there. There's many variations of it. But Lane, we're up against a hard break. Listen, we have Lane L. We're talking to him. The heat is on. Bass Tactics, grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
People all over the Jersey Shore have found the easiest way to stay connected to South Jersey's talk station. It's the WPG Talk Radio app. Read free, unlimited South Jersey news. Listen to your favorite talk shows. Send us breaking news tips and more. The WPG Talk Radio app is powered by Smokers Haven. You'll find the finest selection of cigars at any of their 5 locations. Stop in and let them help you find the perfect cigar to pair with your life. Smokers Haven in J.com.
Fox News, I'm Chris DeMeo. Former President Trump celebrating his birthday with a group of supporters in West Palm Beach. Trump weighing in on his upcoming debate with President Biden.
I don't know if it's going to be very exciting when you think that there's not going to be an audience, so not going to be, not your family, not anybody, just the two of us. So exciting.
The former president and president face off on June 27th. President Biden rallying some Hollywood heavyweights for his next fundraiser.
George Clooney has something others don't. This Saturday, he and Julia Roberts will activate the Hollywood money machine for President Biden. In 2020, the entertainment industry gave Democrats $104 million, almost 10 times more than Republicans.
Fox's William LaJeunesse. Tickets for the fundraiser going for between $250,000 and $250,000. Stocks ending up for the week, the Dow dropping 58 points. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Mostly sunny today, windy and less humid. The start of an extended stretch of dry weather. We'll see a daytime high of 86. Clear skies tonight with a low of 57. Mostly sunny tomorrow, Father's Day. We'll see a high of 83. Monday, very warm and more humid with intervals of clouds and sunshine and a high of 87. I'm AccuWeather's Drew Shannon on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Joining us on the line is Lane L. We're talking bass in the heat. It's on now. Let's get to some baits and situations. Lane, you mentioned the chatterbait with the trailer. The buzzbait, a player in the hot water game?
Oh, my God, I love the buzzbait. First thing in the morning, or low light, a buzzbait is a great bait. Especially if you have a lake that has weed growth that isn't surface weed growth, but it's under the water weed growth. You know, a buzzbait is an amazing bait because the fish will be down in those weeds, and they'll just see something coming over the top, and they just crush it. I was out last week on a little farm pond, and on my third cast on a black buzzbait, I caught a 5.5 pound 21-inch bass that just wrecked this buzzbait. He came out of the weeds and just crushed it. So yeah, buzzbaits absolutely play this time of year, as long as you're fishing a lake that doesn't have surface weeds, because it's very hard to get a buzzbait through any kind of weed.
We like to use the buzz baits in the alleys. When you find, for lack of a better term, you find the alleys in the weeds. Listen, it's deadly. Now, I had to get too esoteric. We've seen them. We have buzz baits with 3 blades and some that call them quad wings, 4 blades. Make a difference? Really?
You know, I'm a 3 buzz bait wing guy. I never got into the quad. I just don't like the sound, the pitch that the quad baits throw.
Yep.
I know other guys love them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, baits are all about confidence, and I have confidence in the 3 wing buzz bait. I like to throw a black buzz bait almost all the time. I don't get too wrapped up in the different colors because I'm usually throwing a buzz bait in low light conditions. And you want to match your color of your baits to the color of your surroundings. So I play black. I throw black when it's dark, and I throw white when it's bright and clear. And I usually just stick to those two colors when it comes to buzz baits.
Lane, the tide, tried and true, rather spinner bait. Still a player as well. Single blade or double blade?
Yeah.
Colorado willow leaf. What?
Yeah, I love throwing a spinner bait almost any time of year. I mean, it's deadly in the winter, but it's also really good right now. I throw a spinner bait interchangeable with a chatter bait. I like to throw a spinner bait with willow blades in the summer when the water is not choppy. It gives a smoother, less subtle presentation. But on days where the wind's blowing and there's chop on the water, I like to get a little louder. So instead of a spinnerbait, I'll throw a chatterbait. I like the vibration that a chatterbait gives off in rough water. And I just think it gets more bites at that time.
Lane, color make a difference on the trailers, the color, you know, the motor oil? Does it even make June bug tequila sun? Or is any of that anymore? Does that make a difference?
You know, I've gotten older and I've fished a whole lot. I'm trying to keep things more simple. And I usually use some sort of paddle tail as a trailer. I like to use natural colors, you know, white, some sort of shad color.
Mm-hmm.
And I always dip the tail in black spike it to give a black appearance. So I like a white body with a black tail, almost exclusively as a trailer bait at any time anymore. Like I said, I've gotten very simple with my trailers. You really don't need to overthink it. The color of the bait that you're using, I usually throw white, or I'll use something to match the hash, you know, some sort of pumpkin seed or, you know, peanut butter and jelly, something like that, depending on the body of water I'm fishing.
Lane, predicated on venue size or the fish you're after, you know, big bait, big fish, I've seen guys, and we've done the same thing, using some of these spinner baits that look almost the size of miniature coat hangers, and other ones you're down to like eighth ounce, like little booyahs, and catching bass all that. Based on the water, based on the habitat, do you ever go that light or that heavy?
I don't go that heavy that often. I mean, I know guys that do, and there is a big bait, big fish concept. So you got to know that the bigger the bait you go, you're going to limit yourself on the number of fish that you're going to catch. But you do have a chance of catching a fish of a lifetime if you throw a bigger bait. So it all depends on what you're fishing for and what you want to bait. I mean, if you're tournament fishing and you have your limit and you're looking for a giant kicker fish, yeah, maybe I'll tie on something really big just to try to get that one last big bite.
There you go.
But if I'm fishing a tournament or a fun fishing and I just want to get bites, I'm usually fishing a 3/8 standard spinner bait. It's a great size. It mimics a great size of a good size bluegill or crappie or whatever your forage is. And you're going to get a lot more bites with a 3/8. There is times that you'll use a smaller spinner bait, and that's if you're fishing ponds where you have predominantly.
He's got bass on his mind.
If you're fishing a place that has predominantly smaller fish, you want to size down a little bit. It'll just get you more bites.
Elaine, you are the master of the wacky rig. Definitely the wacky rig, the Senkos and the Zenko, whatever. We love the Mr. Twister. We say Comet or something down south. They say Comet or whatever. Stats a player as well, correct? Even in the ugly grassy stuff, in the openings, along the edges of the banks?
I've caught more fish on a wacky rig than I've caught on any other bait that there is. It is my go-to bait. I love fishing a wacky rig. I love the way I'm able to skip it underneath docks and underneath overhangs. I believe that fish just love that the way a wacky worm falls in the water column. You can fish it shallow. You can fish it deep. You can fish it around cover. It's just a great bait. And fish just can't stand it, and they love to eat it.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, again, going back to the size thing, size matters. Meet a lovely D. Marie, fish some Southern Ocean County ponds, come wherever, where the 4 and 5, not getting a touch, drop down to a three-inch sank. You ever see the little ones? They look like little cigarette butts. Bang, bada boom, bang, bang. Like, they didn't want anything. They wanted the small stuff. They're pretty much the same color. I mean, I look like Buzz Lightyear with my plastics on my pack. So we have the selection there. And I'll tell you, sometimes they want that small plastic. I don't get it, man.
Yeah, you know, there must be small fish in the area that they're feeding on and gorging on, and it just looks like something else they're eating. You know, I always start off with a 5-inch Senko. That's my go-to. And it's like a feeling out process. Sometimes the 5-inch isn't the right size, and I'll either size down or I'll size up going from there. And you just gotta see what they're eating that day. It changes every day, every time you're out on the water. But the 5-inch is my go-to. I don't normally switch off of that unless conditions tell me I have to.
Right.
And you can also trim a 5-inch down to a 4-inch.
Sure.
Yeah, sometimes you want that meatier body, but still the, you know, in a shorter size. So there's a lot of different ways you can alter a 5-inch Senko to make it fit whatever you're doing or whatever the bass are telling you they want to eat.
And, Lane, before we close out, which I do want to mention the opening day now that, you know, for the tournaments, whatever, support for tournament anglers, being able to put the fish in a live well, et cetera. The night game, Lane, with my, again, I'm just dating myself, a hula popper, jitterbug, noisy surface bait is one of the most thrilling things when you just hear this, I guess, implosion, and all of a sudden my trika rod's almost airborne. Lane, that night game is something, but it's not for everyone.
No, I mean, the night game is amazing. You're right. When you're out in the dark and you just know something blew up on your bait, it's a lot of fun and it's exhilarating. But you just got to be ready for your conditions. You know it's going to be buggy.
Yeah.
You know your sight's going to be limited. So you just got to prepare yourself accordingly to play the night game. You got to make sure you got lights ready to go when you need them. You want to make sure that you're protected from the elements. But yeah, the night game can be fun. And you just want to make sure you're fishing in an area that's safe. You don't want to accidentally be putting yourself in a bad spot at night.
Yes, good point. I've seen that have a good point. But listen, full disclosure, we scout out during the daytime, and if it's in a safe place, and I say, and there's fish there, scout it out. Okay, yeah, opening here, bank, because we're not in a boat. Opening here in the bank, opening here, there's an old dock up here, whatever. I mean, we'll scout it, and then hit those spots at night. So it's a bankside attack, but you know, when we get fish, but like you said, you feel that and the noise, the splash, it's just great. Lane, we're up against a hard break real fast on the opening now, the season for the tournaments, whatever, the whole conservation aspect of it was catch and release prior to protect the bass on the spawning. But you think it's working? Because Jersey's bass fishing is just, it's fantastic across the board. You think that now? I think that incident, that's closed season thing came in. I was writing for the Courier News at the time, had a short lived column there back in 86 or 80, 85 or 86. It's been that long. So it's obviously working. People are used to it. Generations now, it's always been that way. But, and I'm not one for more and more restrictions, Al, you know that. But this seems to have worked.
Yeah, I mean, I think you need to protect the bedding fish. And that's what this is all about, is protecting the fish that are bedding. So if you catch one, you're putting it right back in the water so it can get right back on its bed. So, yeah, I believe it works. I actually believe that the our season right now, the close season is April 15th to June 15th. I'd almost like to see it start April 1st to June 15th because I think as climate is changing, our lakes are warming up a little sooner than they used to.
Right.
I'm seeing fish on beds as early as March now.
In fact, listen, wait, ladies, Tom P., you want to check it out, go check. You mentioned a couple of venues, and there they were. In March, even before St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, and I believe the bigger fish bed early also. I think the big girls, from what I've seen on some local lakes here, the big girls like to get up shallow, to take care of business and then get back to being safe for the rest of the year. I've caught some of my biggest fish. Back, I've caught my personal best in early April. Just on that, finding a big fish that was up shallow.
Well, now, before I let you go, we're up against a really hard break here. 30 seconds or so, a little longer. I've never heard of it before. Tell us about this native watercraft. What's this all about?
Yeah, I'm on the native watercraft pro staff. I've been with them for, 10 years now, I believe. They make incredible fishing kayaks. Check them out at nativewatercraft.com. They're super stable. Over the years, they have seen what the fishermen have been looking for, and they've made adjustments, and they have some boats out there now that are just amazing. High weight capacities, up to 475, 500 pounds on some of the models.
He said that for my benefit, people. Listen, Al, here's my thing. My proclivities with the guy, there was Ocean, there was Wilderness, there's Hobie, and then my budget, Pelican. So this native, I said, wow, this looks, and Lenny, they seem to be extremely well put together.
Oh, my God. They have amazing features. All these boats are now set up for electric power, should you want to go that way. They all have pedal power, so you're pedaling, so you're hands-free. With instant reverse, you can go, you can just, pedal backwards, and all of a sudden you're going in reverse, so you can fight a fish. The new Titan X has a swivel seat, so you can swivel 360 in the seat around the boat, which is an amazing feature.
I like that.
Check them out. I would not fish out of any other kayak other than a native watercraft. They're just that well put together, that well built. They'll last you a lifetime. So if you really want it, if you're serious about getting out fishing in a kayak, make the investment, do it right, and get a native watercraft. You won't be sorry.
And there you go. Lanell, by the way, South Jersey Bass Club Association have a pretty aggressive open buddy tournament schedule. I like it, man. Yeah, they're covering the bases.
I'm glad you brought that up. Tomorrow, Sunday, June 16th, on Union Lake is the annual Steve Stemmitz Open Buddy Bass Tournament.
I remember him.
Lots of great prizes. There's a first place of $500 from Francois Marine. And we also have a lunker, $100 largemouth lunker, and $100 smallmouth lunker. Go to sjbca.org. Look it up, and we'll see you tomorrow morning. I'll be there at 4:30 in the morning checking people in. It's going to be a great day. It's going to be a great day on the water. It's going to be some big fish caught. And come out, have some fun, and win some prizes.
Yeah, you're going to have coffee and donuts at least. If I'm there 4:30 in the morning, you got some eats there.
We'll give you something to snack on. That's not a problem.
Take care, Elaine. See you soon, brother. Best to lovely Michelle Olive and the Ladybug.
Say hi to the lovely Dee Marie for me.
Will do. Take care, bro.
Thank you.
Lane L, hell of a bass fisherman, always willing, and just the guy, it's almost like a passion sharing the knowledge. Good guy. Grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Wrap it up. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hi, this is Gordon Deal. Coming up on This Weekend, why not everyone wants to see broods of cicadas disappear? We'll put the noise in Illinois. Also, can a hot dog eating champ help sales of the slumping fake meat industry? We'll look at Joey Chestnut's new endorsement deal. Plus, the preschool teacher donating part of her kidney to a student. And President Biden and Donald Trump talking smack about golf. That and more coming up on This Weekend.
This morning at 6 on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Harry Hurley for my friends at Ambient Comfort Heating and Air Conditioning Professionals and the $59 air conditioning tune-up special for new customers. There are many, many hot days ahead, and the sooner you discover a problem, the easier the repairs tend to be. You may have already noticed that your system is not cooling your home like it used to, and while the price of just about everything has gone up, the price of Ambient Comfort's $59 tune-up has stayed the same for new customers, and it's well worth it. Their certified technicians will perform a thorough precision tune-up on your system to make sure it's safe and running at maximum efficiency, regardless of who originally installed it, when comfort matters. Choose who I choose. Choose Ambient Comfort. Schedule your tune-up now at AmbientComfortNJ.com. That's AmbientComfortNJ.com or call 609-568-0955. That's 609-568-0955 for your $59 AC tune-up. For new customers, tell them Harry Hurley sent you.
If you need bold banners to boost your business, but you're on a budget, think Staples. Because now at Staples, you can save up to $50 on your print purchase. From posters and flyers to signs and menus, Staples can print anything you need to move your business forward. And with Staples Print Perfect Guarantee, it's done right or it's printed again free. Plus, same-day service is available on hundreds of items if you order by noon. Get it printed right at Staples. And now get up to $50 off your print purchase. And 7-6, visit staples.com/print for details.
What seems to be the problem?
Doctor, thank goodness. My husband found out Cricket Wireless has 5G plans starting at $15 a month, and his jaw just dropped.
Oh. Did he hear about Cricket's blazing fast 5G?
Yep.
Uh-huh. What about their reliable nationwide coverage?
Yes, that too.
Uh-huh. I see. Unfortunately, there's no cure. But you will have really fast 5G.
Get jaw-droppingly fast 5G for $15 a month. Smile, you're on Cricket.
Cricket 5G requires a compatible device and is not available everywhere. Video may be limited to SD. Fees may apply. Terms and restrictions apply. Subject to change. See store for details.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
And that'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Get out there and enjoy this Father's Day weekend and the weeks ahead. The summer season is here. Fishing is fantastic. Crabbing is fantastic. Get into that clamming thing. If you want to find out more about the clamming, go to clamthebay.org. Good organization. And don't forget, if you're going to be in Cape May, check out the iconic Utch's Marina, 1121 New Jersey 109 in Cape May. Ernie, Charlie, and a great crew there. All your boating needs, all your fishing needs, just a great marina. Next week, we are going to be talking to the Utch's crew here on Rack and Fin Radio. But get out there and enjoy, especially with the family. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio. Even in the heat, the bass bite is on. See you next week.